Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, happy Friday to you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, there's in our neighborhood, Gabe, you two live in Sea Isle in the area, right?
Yes.
There is a there's a 5K tomorrow, 9 o'clock, leaving from, the park over there. I expect you to be in it.
My wife is running in it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, she signed up over the week. Yeah. So we're running.
Yeah, I'll be there, maybe.
I will be there.
You will be there.
I don't know.
I'll be there.
I can walk a 5K.
I went and got my, and anyone else out there wants a nice little neighborhood 5K? One of the things that shocks people is there are actually hills in our neighborhood. It's a 5K that actually involves hills. Not exactly Heartbreak Hill, but it involves hills. And so there you go. Well, I'll see you both there. Well, I'll certainly see Connor there, and I may see you there. I'll be
What's the 5K for, by the way? Or is it just?
It's to raise money for the neighborhood.
Oh, just for the neighborhood.
Okay. You know, so for the neighborhood, so they have money to spend on cleaning things up and improving the general.
I'm all for that.
The conviviality and the loveliness of the neighborhood. It's actually the reason they started doing it at first was not really to raise money, but to create a sense of community.
Yeah.
You know, they have events over there and whatever. It is a kind of a nice little neighborhood. You know, it's not the fanciest in all of Memphis, but it's a nice little neighborhood. So maybe I'll see you there.
Jeff, are you going to dress up as a Star Wars character?
You know, I pondered that, and I wouldn't begin to know how to. No, no, I'm not dress up as a Star Wars character. Although the shirts, I picked up my 5K shirt. I registered in advance. You get one if you register in advance. Otherwise, you have to wait to see if there's enough, I think. And it does say it has a Star Wars theme to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No. I think we discussed this in the context of Halloween. I'm not a good dressing up guy. You know, it's probably because I'm not that creative artistically, and I'm certainly not that competent artistically.
Listen, do you have an Amazon Prime membership? It's not that hard to find a costume.
You could order something.
Yeah, you could just go order something. If you're at a Halloween party and you find yourself...
Probably would arrive by 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Correct.
They're basically waiting outside your house to bring you things.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, you just got to make sure it doesn't get taken off your front porch, just like my furniture did a couple of weeks ago.
You know, knock on wood, I regularly get Amazon Prime shipments, and I have never had anything taken on. I'm literally knocking on a tree here as I go by. I've never had anything swiped. Now, my house is a little back, you know, a little back from the road, and I do have, I don't think this dissuades anybody. I have one of those blue lights. Do they do anything? Do the blue lights do anything? The blinking, you know, those.
Isn't there a camera on them as well?
Like, there's a camera on them, but would anyone care?
What am I going to do? If the camera can catch them, then maybe it would. It would.
Maybe I just wonder if it's at all a deterrent. It doesn't strike me that it's that much.
Well, I had a Ring camera. Ring cameras clearly aren't that much of a deterrent.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are my plans. That's my plan for the weekend. And then I'll recover the rest of the weekend.
I hear you. Now, let's move on to some Tiger basketball. David Jones, just came down. He got invited to the NBA Combine. That's a good thing for him. I don't know if that's necessarily a great thing for Memphis, but it's still, he was going to get in front of NBA scouts through workouts or whatever, or like a regional combine regardless. But this just makes it easier to get in front of everybody all at once for him.
Yeah, the problem is, it's a little bit of a dilemma. Like, when he's your guy, you can't root against him.
No.
You know what I mean? It puts you in this awkward position of, are you rooting? Is that good news? Good for him. But everything that's good for him is bad for the program. I mean, so, and I do think this. Like, the fact that Blake Watson wasn't invited to the combine should have been assigned to us. Both of us were surprised when he wasn't drafted, right? But the fact that he wasn't invited to the combine, the league decides who to invite to the combine, should have been assigned to us that, okay, well, maybe you and I have held him in higher regard. The two of us held him in higher regard than he's held in the league. And the fact that David Jones isn't, you're right, he'd be seen by scouts anyway. He'd be working out for teams anyway. But the fact that he is being invited to the combine is a sign that they see him as, you know, a player that the league, someone identified him as a player they'd like to see at the combine. And that, if you are a University of Memphis fan, again, all this is just marginal, but that if you're is not necessarily good news, but it is good news for David Jones. So it is an awkward position that the fans find themselves in.
No one else keeps being, it's a little awkward to me. Bronny James is invited to the combine too. And I'm not saying I didn't expect it. It's just, he shouldn't be you're wasting a spot for Bronny James at the NBA Combine. That's my opinion.
And maybe.
I just think that's kind of, it's nepotism, and that's sort of what it is. It's LeBron, I get that. It's just strange to me. The hype around him and what we saw last year with a terrible USC team and him getting in the transfer portal. He needs to be in college. If LeBron has his best interest out for him, he needs to be back in college for another year.
Well, and evidently the reports were earlier this week that he's less committed to having him on this team, you know, this coming year anyway. But again, we've had this discussion. I don't care if he gets drafted in the second round by the Lakers and sits on their bench.
I don't care. I'd be happy for him. I just don't know if it's the best thing for him right now. But hey, it is what it is. Now the Tigers did get a commitment last night, and it was Tyreek Smith from SMU. I heard you and Jeffrey having a little bit of a conversation about, is this class disappointing? Now, I would not put it in that category. I actually enjoy this class for the most part, and I really enjoy this commitment more than it seems like most of Memphis fans enjoy it, because, you know, the question I'd ask is, did we learn anything from last year? You need role players that fit the scheme, and it seems like this guy's perfect. Blocks, runs rim to rim, high efficiency, 8 points a game, came off the bench, seems like it would fit perfectly. But what do you think about this class, you know, all together?
Well, right now there's not enough.
Sure.
You know, right.
Right.
So all we were having a discussion, simply having a discussion. I asked John's having is off on paternity leave, so I was trying to channel a little of John's skepticism to say, are we impressed or not by a class? I mean, it's a reasonable question. Are we impressed or not by a class that, you know, has a player from a pretty lousy Wichita State team, and a player from a pretty lousy Tulsa team, and a player from now a pretty lousy SMU team where he didn't start. So that would be the argument. But I think you're right. He's putting together, like, you know, this guy's his shot block rate is terrific. He's a defensive what he is, a defensive player. You know, that's what he is. He started 13 games, but when he played, he was an effective defensive player. And I don't think there's any point in judging the class until we see the whole class, right? Now, if in the end, like, there's no better big, you know, if in the end there's no David Jones, if in the end there's no, you know, another really high-level player added to this class, then I think it will be disappointing. A team right now that exists that would be taking the floor, you know, is not a team that you think is going to the Sweet 16. So, you know, you want to see more, but the good news is you probably will. And I think, you know, you might well see David Jones. And so, you know, that makes a lot more sense to put a team, you know, of defensive scrappers around David Jones. Not unlike, you know, in some ways, not unlike the Knicks. You know what I mean? Like, what do the Knicks have? They got a shot-making guard, and they got a bunch of scrappers. And so... So I don't hate it. I certainly want to see, and I think you do too, you know, what this looks like as a finished product.
Well, the biggest issue is there's no stars left. There's no real stars left out on the portal. Like, they can't really land, you know, anything but role players like this for the most part. I mean, Musa Cissé is still out there.
There's no David Jones. Let's just say, if there's no David Jones, just a bunch more role players.
I was going to go
there. How will you feel about this team heading into next year?
I think it would be a tournament team. I don't think that it would be a team that I would have a lot of hope that they'd get to the second weekend. That's what
Right now, just taking the current roster, who are your starters?
I'd go P.J. Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter, Colby Rogers, and then I would sort of go back and forth, but I'll say Nick Jourdain and Dane Danja for the conversation that we're having right this second. But I think you're saying no David Jones?
Yeah, no David Jones.
Yeah, so I'd go Nick Jourdain and Dan.
Yeah, I think that's a marginal tournament team, I'll be honest. And I think that's
I think they're a tournament team is because they're outpacing the AAC by a mile and a half.
Right. The question is, though, you know, how will that team hold up, that team that you just described? And again, we're all hoping for more, and we're all hoping for David Jones. But how would that team hold up in the non-conference gauntlet that they've established for themselves?
True. That's a great question.
I think they would struggle. I think they would be outclassed against it's a tough non-conference schedule. I give Penny all but either credit or whatever for that. So
here's the one thing though that's a wild card, and I know PJ Haggerty was great at Tulsa, but how good can he be another year into his career? Like that's the thing that I think people are discounting a tad bit. This was a 21 point per game scorer. You know, consensus top 10 guy in the portal for most transfer portal rankings. Like, and he's going on a sophomore year. I could imagine this guy being, if David Jones isn't there, being phenomenal.
He would have to be a, you know, certainly a conference player of the year star, right? You know, to carry that team. The backcourt's pretty good. The front court's pretty limited on that team, right? You know, obviously, if you take David Jones and stick him in that lineup, that changes things.
Yeah, changes everything. Changes everything.
Yeah.
But if it's David Jones and we're talking a starting lineup, what do you go? You go David Jones at the four, right? And then just throw in Nick Jourdain at the five. Go small ball.
Yeah, and then you have Jourdain coming off in the mix.
I have heard some interesting things from behind the scenes that they think a lot of Dane Danger and what he could actually be like a potential starter. But I'm still a little curious about the fit.
He was trending up, you know, at the end of his Illinois career, and so, you know, he had a big game in the tournament. We do hear a lot about every summer we hear about someone who's blown up. Oh man, they look great, you know. Musa's back to the famous moment when John's reported that Musa was hitting three pointers and. I mean, again, I think they're going to make the tournament.
Can I be completely honest with you? I don't remember that report. I don't.
It was. Yeah,
I don't remember.
Back then, you were probably occupied.
Yeah, I don't remember that report. I believe you, though. Now, on to the NBA. What did you think of Pat Bev last night? This has to be a suspension, right, going into next year regular season?
It will be a suspension. There is no question. Yes, you can't chuck a ball. Yes, he 100% will be a suspension. It was ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. There was nothing else to think other than it was totally ridiculous. And then the thing with the ESPN producer, you know, it's totally ridiculous. So I don't know if it's a shtick or a, you know, an inability to control his emotions.
It was sore loser if I've ever seen it. That's exactly what it was. But it was like, Draymond, listen, I don't like the messenger, but I did like the message he had about Pat Bev today, because he went after him and he said, that's really ridiculous. Again, the messenger, it's a different conversation
right.
We're having.
Hot kettle,
but he basically said, Pat Bev reminds him of the kid that goes to open runs and loses two games in a row. The only ball that they have at the court is his, and he takes the ball and goes home. Nobody else can play. Like he acts like a spoiled little brat when he gets knocked out of the playoffs, and he hasn't won much. That's the other thing about it.
The weird thing, of course, is that he's not worth talking about except for his antics, right? So it's just, I mean, at least in fairness with Draymond, we talk about his antics, but he is an impactful basketball player, right? Limited in certain regards, but he is a hugely impactful basketball player. And so with Pat Bev, we're really only talking about him because of his antics. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a genius in it.
Yeah. Now, you said you felt bad for Joel Embiid that entire series. Last night, I really did feel like I know he's been dirty. He's been a dirty player. I started to feel bad for him last night watching their third in line, Tobias Harris, do absolutely nothing, because Joel Embiid, Bell's palsy, migraines, knee be damned. He had a phenomenal series, one of his best playoff series of his career. He had one bad game, and in that bad game, he still had a triple-double, and they won. You know, he was great the entire series, but Tobias Harris is just the biggest nothing burger in the NBA right now for a guy that's making, you know, that
40,
much money.
$40 million. Scoreless, two shots. It's actually why and they were, you know, they outscored the Knicks by 46 points when Joel Embiid was on the court. The Knicks outscored him by 1 point over the course of the series. They outscored the Knicks by 46 points when Joel Embiid was on the court. I know if you're people are looking at the Sixers now and saying, how can you keep doing this? You know, he's never available for the playoffs. He's, you know, he always gets hurt. Well, you know, isn't it time? I would say two things to that. One is, what's the path? Why does the path without Joel Embiid look better than the path with him, as injured as he has been? That's point one. And then point two is, I actually feel better about their future now than certainly any of the other old teams that have been knocked out of the playoffs, because the only player under contract, literally the only player with a guaranteed contract for next year, is Embiid. Maxey's a restricted free agent, so obviously he'll be back. But they have, it feels like those two fit. They found a second star who seems to, Joel Embiid only speaks incredibly highly of him. They seem like they fit together. They're going to have oodles of cap room, and they can totally remake the roster. Now, what's out there? You know, are they going to really get Paul George? Is Paul George going to really want to leave his home in L.A. where he grew up in order to move to freaking Philadelphia? Like, I can see why there's skepticism about that. So who knows who will be available. But they've got, you know, they got Embiid and Maxey, and they got all the flexibility and money in the world. So I think as tough as it is to lose, if you're the Sixers, I actually think this is not the year to say, how long can we keep doing this? Like, this is the year when
this is a year where possibilities are open.
Yeah, I don't hate it for the Sixers.
Yeah, but Connor did point out to me off the air, a decade into the process, never got to an Eastern Conference Finals.
No, but they've never gotten to an Eastern Conference
Finals. There could be more, though. I agree with your sentiment there, though. They're going to have more flexibility, and it seems like they can add another star that would potentially want to play with Embiid, but we'll see what happens. I did see, have you seen that Jimmy Butler's not happy and he's been tied to the 76ers again? I thought that all ended because Embiid and Jimmy Butler didn't get along.
Was that Embiid and Butler? Was that
was that somebody else?
I don't know.
Ben Simmons and Butler?
Yeah. Is Jimmy Butler ever happy?
he seems to have been happy with the Heat for a longer time than normal.
With the Heat for a while, yeah. It'll be interesting because you have all these teams. You know, you got Golden State, you got the Lakers, you got Miami, you have all these glamour teams. You got Philadelphia, you got Milwaukee now out of there. You got the Suns. Like they're all. It's just kind of amazing. It. You know, what do you do? It'll be a fascinating offseason, and honestly, I feel pretty good. Like the Grizzlies are just going to be sitting there saying, "You know, we're just going to come back healthy." Yeah, we're going to add a piece or two.
Yeah,
but you're sort of in better position than I don't know that you're better position than Milwaukee if Giannis is healthy or whatnot. But you know, I like where the Grizzlies are as you survey this wreckage.
Yeah, the Milwaukee. I don't know. There could be a debate. We'll see next year. We'll have a debate about that because Milwaukee. They have to deal with an aging Brooke Lopez and an aging Chris Middleton. But
it's a problem. There's no question it's a problem. They also have one of the
They still have Giannis and Dame. I get that. I completely understand that. Now, Darvin Ham fired. That's been in the drafts for a while.
Yes.
There's a lot of coaches that they can get to replace him. I think Mike Budenholz would be at the top of my list, but everybody seems to be focused on Tyronn Lue. And then, of course, the Clippers come along today and say, "Yeah, we're gonna get a long contract extension done with Ty Lue." So,
yeah,
Lakers, they're out of sweepstakes.
He's already under a contract too. It's not like he's under.
The
contract
idea would he'd have to get fired after getting knocked out of the playoffs, which I don't think that makes any sense.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that. You know, LeBron actually wanted them to hire Tyronn Lue the last time around, two times around, I guess it was. And they did not. And
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And they should have. You know, I think they're pretty easy. Obviously, a terrific coach. But if you don't have Tyronn Lue, I don't think there's a, you know, Darvin Ham lose? Like, is he the reason the Lakers? No, the roster is, you know.
I think he was a contributor.
He might have been a contributor, but it's like, which I sort of fundamentally agree with Charles Barkley here. They had nothing besides AD and LeBron were healthy and effective. And they really got very little, from, you know, around them. And so, but yeah, I'm not saying Darvin Ham was third quarters were a disaster in the entire series. And so that sort of suggests coaching. But
he never calls time out either.
Right.
He just never does.
So who will, but yeah, I don't know that there's a difference making coach out there.
Right. I think Bud would do well. They're talking Bud, Kenny Atkinson, and J.J. Redick. I don't know if J.J. Redick could hop the line like that, but should hop the line like that, but I don't think he'd leave his Cush Media job for anything less than head coaching, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like it would make a lot of sense
for him. Right, that's the thing. Right.
for sure. But all right, Jeff, you have a good weekend. Appreciate it.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Yes, sir. That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X. I guess I'll be seeing him tomorrow. Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins on 9-11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. So we're headed to the 5K tomorrow?
I will be
You're
there.
Already going to be there. You're
I will
not
be
participating.
There. I am not. I still have a knee injury. My knee's still messed up. So.
Have you gotten it checked out?
I'm okay. It's getting better. I've been running recently. I've been going to work out and testing it out, and I ran 2 miles this week, and, you know, it's holding up okay. But it's definitely not ready for a 5K.
What's a 5K?
What's a 5K?
How many miles?
Gabe, you're asking me a question on live.
You said you ran 2 miles. I'm doing this right now. What's a 5K in miles? Because I think you just...
Is it 3.5?
I think it might be around 3.5. Let's see. 3.1.
Yeah,
you 3.1. Got close.
Okay, there's an extra mile's a long time. I was also able to take breaks and drink water. Like,
I don't even know why I'm giving
situation.
You trash. There's a 0% chance I'm running 3.1 miles tomorrow.
You D-bag. Like, you're over here questioning me. I ran 2 miles with a hurt knee, and you're over here doing nothing.
Yeah, but I will be betting on basketball games this weekend. And the NBA playoffs have tipped off, and it's not too late. How much? What do you think Jeff is to win the whole thing?
I bet he can
plus
run.
5,000?
I bet he's good at it.
I mean, but there's a lot of participants.
Because he knows the terrain as well. He knows the terrain.
He knows his neighborhood? Yeah, okay. All right. So what do you think the number is?
Are you asking me how...
What's the number for him to win it all, this 5K, even though that's not the point of it?
I wouldn't pick him as the favorite, but I bet he's in the top half. I'd say that.
Okay. So right around plus 5,000. Fair number?
Sure.
Okay, we'll sit right there. But the NBA playoffs have tipped on. It's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. So take that long favorite and laugh to the bank. It's $150 to use on same game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK to get started. FanDuel's an official sports betting partner of the NBA and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. And if you have a gambling problem, make sure that you reach out to the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. So Mark Giannotto did a very good write-up for the commercial appeal, sort of what was said by the University of Tennessee leaders about scheduling Memphis. We had Josh Heupel speak up, Danny White speak up, and, of course, Rick Barnes. We'll give you their answers on the other side.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Now, we have to hop into some Tennessee and Memphis scheduling, and will it happen, won't it happen? We're leaning to the won't side because, as Mark Giannotto pointed out in his column for the commercial appeal today, in the past 10 years, only two Tennessee teams, baseball and men's basketball, have played a total of 4 games in Memphis in 10 years. It seems absolutely impossible that nothing can get done, but I think that just does show that Tennessee, considering the conference they're in, considering the power conference teams that they can schedule and then the bye games they get, it's not worth it to them, in their mind, to come to the city of Memphis to play basketball or to play football, which is where we want to see it get scheduled. Now, let's get to what was said by Danny White, by Josh Heupel, and by Rick Barnes. I want to start with Rick Barnes because this is I think everybody knows where this answer was going, but when he was asked about a potential Memphis game being scheduled, he said, "I don't see it happening. The opportunities that we have nationally are too big." I think that makes a lot of sense, but I think it's beyond the opportunities they have nationally, Connor, don't you? I think it has to do with the way the COVID game ended up, the Bald Fist game, the relationship that got strained since Penny Hardaway has became coach. I think bygones should have been bygones a long time, but I don't think he's telling the full truth, but at least he's being out front and saying, yeah, that's not happening. Not going to let it happen.
You said it best. It's, to be honest, it's just, we all want it to happen. in my opinion, it needs to happen. But I think for the University of Tennessee, there is, if they lose to Memphis, it's just, it's a bigger loss than if Memphis loses to Tennessee.
Yeah. Now, Josh Heupel, I don't really believe him on this front, but he says, I'm not in charge of sketching, but Ryan, talking about Coach Silverfield, does a great job over there. Then he said the football version of question when it comes to the scheduling, he doesn't really have any say over that. So in all likelihood, that's not going to happen. It's been a long, long time. They went four decades, basically, to playing each other every single year. Last time that game was played, it was 2010. I mean, the fact that it doesn't happen is absolutely insane to me. But it does show, again, where Tennessee is at as compared to Memphis. But here's the other thing that bothers me about the way that Danny White, their AD, talks about it, and the way he sort of, you know, in a way, you know, makes Memphis look like not a University of Memphis city when we know it certainly is. He said it's the city's painted orange, basically, is what he said. And then he went on to say, Memphis is a huge priority for us. We'll always be open to opportunities to play here, which is not the case, Danny. That's not true. Like, I want to believe you at face value. You'll always be open to opportunities to play in the city of Memphis because it's a good, fertile recruiting ground for you, and you have a lot of fans here. But your actions speak louder than the words that are coming out of your mouth. I wish I believe you. I just don't. I don't on the back end because this – we would have played in basketball. You'd have something set up for football as well, but that's not the way it has gone. Now, I think if we're being honest about the Memphis side of these things, if Memphis wants to play them, I'm sure Tennessee would agree to it, but it would have to be at their place. It'd have to be at their place. And I don't think Memphis is in the business of taking bye games. I don't think they really want to do that anymore. They feel like they're past that. And I think that, to be honest with you, looking at the history of football in particular, they are past that. Certainly past that in basketball, but they're certainly past that in football. We're talking about a team that has aspirations of getting in the 12-team playoff going into next year. They should be thinking highly of themselves. Now, some people say, oh, $1 million here. Well, why wouldn't it hurt to just take that money? Well, you just have to hold yourself accountable to the space that you want to be in. And taking a bunch of those bye games makes you look a lot more unserious. Now, I think UAB's taking a trip for a bye game to Tennessee here soon. There's a couple of other schools in the group of five that are doing it. But Memphis is on a different level, and they've shown that on several occasions. The FedEx deal with the NIL, the new stadium renovations, all of the different facilities that have been built here. There has been an emphasis on athletics that has surpassed most, if not almost all, of the group of five, and they should hold themselves to a higher standard.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that it kind of appears that the better the University of Memphis got in football and their major sports, the least likely it became that University of Tennessee would want to play them, because I do think that they just do not want to lose to the University of Memphis, and I think that if the basketball team played at their place, they'd be okay.
They don't want to lose, but I'm saying it adds insult to injury if you do a return trip to here and you lose that game as well. We saw Mizzou last year not want to make this trip here. Like, it's just it does pose a substantial risk for them. You know what I mean? That's how they look at it in both sports, quite frankly.
I mean, it's just true that they don't Memphis isn't a team to beat up on anymore, so they don't want to play them. It's that simple to me.
Yeah, but I think if Memphis were to just accept, hey, we'll play there once, one off, bow, done. Do it on your terms. They do it. To this, Tennessee would do it, but Memphis is not in that business right now. They're holding themselves to a standard that I think they need to hold themselves to. You want to be with the big boys. You want to get out of this conference into a power conference. I don't see why you shouldn't act like that on the way up. You should. You should hold yourself to that standard. But it's just frustrating.
It is frustrating
because it's just such an obvious cross-state rival. The fans hate each other. Good, healthy sports hate. It just makes so much damn sense. Over Arkansas, over Ole Miss, Tennessee and Memphis should play in just about every sport every year in the non-con. It just makes too much sense. I mean, the historic significance of 1-2.
Incredible.
With Memphis versus Tennessee.
One of the best games I've ever seen.
It mean something to Tennessee, too. They can't sit there and act like that game means nothing to them. They can't act like that is not a historical moment in the history of Tennessee basketball and the state of Tennessee. You can't downplay that moment. So, I don't know. I've said my piece. It's just, it's annoying. It's, quite frankly, that's what I'll chalk it up to. It's annoying because I know Memphis is very, would be receptive if it's, you know, a 2-for-1 or a 1-for-1, a home and home, but they're not going to do that for them. They don't want to play here.
Actions speak louder than words. They gave PR answers.
Now, to be fair, I will one thing I will say about Rick Barnes. His words and his actions match.
Sure, that is true. That is true.
They asked him plain up, "Will you want to schedule Memphis?" Nah, that's not happening.
Scared.
That's not happening. I don't want to do that.
Scared.
I don't. I mean, do you really think that's the case with Rick Barnes in particular?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think the football home at home is strange because the Power Five teams don't come here to win. They don't come here and win. That's not how
they
that
do
works.
Not. Ole Miss. What's up, bro?
They don't come here and win. It's just there's a history of that since 2014. If you're a Power Five team, you take this trek to Memphis. You're not.
I think there's probably a lot of bad. I'm kind of kidding when I'm saying here.
That's
a
what
lot
I'm saying with the Tennessee
blood.
Basketball.
There's just
thing,
bad blood.
I don't think there's anything that's scared. I don't think they're scared.
I just don't think Penny and Rick Barnes. Are
I don't
each
think
other.
They like each other.
Yeah, it's the, and that's what I think it is.
And again, I don't know. It does. It poses some level of risk.
Yes.
So I guess that's where you're coming from with the scared. But
that's what I mean. It is. It's far more beneficial for the University of Memphis to play Tennessee than it is for Tennessee to play Memphis.
Yes. Wait, say that again.
It's more beneficial for Memphis to play Tennessee than Tennessee to play Memphis.
Of course, because Tennessee can always make up ground, and Tennessee does schedule relatively good out of conference schedule. Like they play in the premier tournaments.
Memphis would be a risk that you would put on your schedule. That's what it is. It's because especially in college football, you know, one loss can completely take you out of it. And if you put Memphis on that schedule, that's a team that could beat you.
Yep. Now, I want to get to this. Draft Network. So we just got done with the NFL draft. Draft Network is actually a very good site to go follow draft year round. They have some really good analysts that do good work over there. But they posed their 2025 NFL mock draft, way too early mock draft. Do you want to hear this, Connor? This is one of the strangest things I've heard and seen with way too early mock drafts. I thought Jordan Reed over at ESPN did a really good job. He had Carson Beck. This is number one overall.
Okay.
Draft Network posted their unanimous NFL mock draft for 2025. You know who's going number one to the Carolina Panthers? Jalen Milroe. They have
really?
Listed.
Hmm.
Quarterback. Alabama. Second, they have to the Patriots, Will Campbell. Third, Luther Burden to the Broncos, which I love Luther Burden. I think he's going to be an absolute star at the next level. Commanders, Travis Hunter from Colorado at 4, and then James Pierce from Tennessee going to the Titans at 5. But Jalen Milroe.
Interesting. It could,
you
it could
know
happen.
This. You've heard this before from me. I'm way higher on Jalen Milroe with Kalen DeBoer in his corner than a lot of people are. People will say, well, he's not Michael Penix, and you know his accuracy isn't always locked in. He's got to learn how to take a check down. He's got to be better with the football, get through his progressions. I watched Michael Penix Jr. at Indiana and then ultimately at Washington early. In his Indiana days, he played very similar to Jalen Milroe. He wasn't that accurate. He could take some deep shots here and there, but he wasn't dinking and dunking down the field, and he ran the ball a lot. Now, the injuries definitely morphed him, and then Kalen DeBoer also morphed him into the player he was by the time we saw him last year in the national championship his entire senior year. So I think Jalen Milroe has that type of skill set that we've seen in the past. Kalen DeBoer's able to morph. And Jalen Milroe, you know, Michael Penix was the best deep ball passer last year in college football. Jalen Milroe was right there with him as far as a deep ball passer.
Really?
He's not a dink and dunk guy. He's not good in the intermediate, but his deep ball, he can uncork it, and it's usually relatively accurate. So I think that that'll work out. Now, getting to the going full circle with this. Number one overall pick is absolutely positively insane. I can't see that.
For Milroe?
I can't see it. Can't see it in the slightest. He needs way more development where he's at right now. He's got decent footwork, but his throwing slot's weird. He relies on his legs too much and his athleticism too much. And when you look at Carson Beck and Shedeur Sanders and Quinn Ewers and all of these different guys, They're better quarterbacks than Jalen Milroe. I'm sorry. Like, I shouldn't have to apologize for that, but it's just strange to see Draft Network this early throw him up there. And that's a hell of a prediction. If that comes true, we could all look and we'd be eating crow.
Lisa Nugent.
But I don't see that coming true. I don't see that being a reality.
Could it be more of a Heisman ranking than kind of a
Will Campbell at two? As offensive tackle from
LSU.
That's true.
That's true.
I'll tell you that. It is not that.
Maybe, but what I'm saying is that I wonder if that was them saying that they think he could win the Heisman next year.
It seems
like there's a few QBs in front of him.
I think he could win the Heisman. But Jordan Reed did this at ESPN for the Way Too Early mock draft going into next year. Carson Beck I really like. I've always liked. He was a five-star guy out of high school. All the Georgia fans were like, oh, we're moving on from Stetson. He just won us a couple of national championships.
Y'all hated Stetson for a while.
Is this guy going to be as good? No, he's going to be better, I promise you. He'll be solid. But he gets through his progressions. He's got a good deep ball. He's very accurate. I know they run the ball a whole lot, but they do a little less running than J.J. McCarthy did at Michigan. And they're going to be good this year. They're going to be very good. I think it's Georgia and Ohio State at the top of college football, and we'll see who wins that battle. Now, Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Get over to 964 June Road and get some of their clothing. They have clothing in the best brands, Gentile, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. And they have your favorite teams. You can get Grizzlies, Tigers, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, you name it. They have it over at 964 June Road. And they also have vintage tees. They have vintage vinyl for you music lovers. They have sports memorabilia for you diehard sports fans. They have hunting and outdoor essentials for you adventurous souls. They have your tailgating gear. If you want cups, koozies, coolers, tumblers, they have it there if you want to get to the Grove or to Tiger Lane. So get over to 964 June Road, that two-story storefront, where you're going to meet a kind and courteous staff that will show you in the direction of everything that you need. Now, also, you can go online if you don't want to go in store. ShopOxbow.com is where you can find them. And when you go to check out and you fill up that shopping cart with whatever you need, put in my promo code, The Gabe Show, all caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show, and you'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or to 964 June Road, make sure you shop local, shop Oxbow. Now, we have to wrap up hour number two, and we're going to wrap it up with a little bit of small talk. And you know what's coming up this weekend, Connor?
Yes.
On Netflix?
I do.
The Tom Brady roast. Tom Brady says he's unroastable. Do I agree with that? I'll answer that on the other side. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, as a part of Netflix is a Joke Fest, which is in Los Angeles, started yesterday, will run through May 12th. There's 400 live stand-up shows across 35 venues. But as a part of it, they're doing the greatest roast of all time, and Tom Brady is the one that is going to be roasted. Where can you find it? It will be live on Netflix on Sunday at, looks like, 7 p.m. our time, Central Time. So you will be able to tune in on Sunday. I think that'll be a good Sunday viewing experience. Now, Tom Brady says he's unroastable. I completely disagree with that. If he thinks he's unroastable, he has a terrible, you know, these roasters he has are absolute professionals. Jeff Ross is Roastmaster. We know that. Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura, Nikki Glaser, Andrew Schultz is going to cook him. Tony Hinchcliffe, Sam Jay, then Randy Moss, Julian Edelman, Drew Bledsoe. That ought to be a fun one. Rob Gronkowski's a little goofy, but he could be okay. And is Bill Belichick actually going to roast him, or is that
He is reported on the list. Greg Rosenthal on Yahoo Sports have reported that he will be there.
But he's a guest. Is he going to be a guest or a roaster?
It says he's one of the roasters.
Okay.
I'm not a producer of this thing.
Hey, relax. Take it easy.
Now,
as far as him being unroastable, do I think he is unroastable? Do I agree with him? Hell no! One, there are very few people that are unroastable. I think everybody's roastable. I think if somebody puts themselves in the line of fire, you give them what they have coming. But when it comes to Tom Brady, there's so much material, right? You have cheating material. You have plastic surgery material. You have he kisses his dad on the mouth material. I mean, there's so much that you can choose from to go after. Fake retirement material.
Ex-wife material.
Ex-wife material. What's it called? Instructor. Jiu-jitsu instructor material. Like, you can absolutely. There's so much. there's so much that you can go after him with. And nothing should be off the table, right? There's not really much off the table.
Yeah, everything's on the table for a roast.
It's a roast. So I don't know where he thinks. I guess he's just saying it. I guess he's saying, maybe he's saying he's unroastable in the fact that he won't get his feelings hurt, but that's sort of the thing you agree to.
I'm really taking before. It as like a wrestling bit. I think he's just playing it up.
Okay, I guess. But that's goofy.
He seems like he has a pretty good personality and sense of humor, so I think he knows what he's walking into.
I think it's going to be generational.
I hope so. I hope so.
I used to like the Comedy Central roasts, so.
I tend to enjoy them.
Are they still out there?
They're not doing new ones. They might be on Peacock.
They're on one of the streamers.
Paramount, maybe? They're on one of them.
Yeah, but Jeff Ross was at the center of all those.
Roastmaster.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Coming up on Sunday at 7 p.m. our time. Now, we have a third hour, one more hour left in the week. We're going to use it wisely. We get to the Blitz at 6:30. But coming up next, Parth Upadhyay to break down this latest Tigers basketball commit and Tigers basketball in general.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.